Hey, thanks so much for listening to this message. My name is Jason, and I'm one of the ministers here at the Madison Church of Christ. It's our hope and prayer that the teaching you hear today will bless your life and draw you closer to God. If you're ever in the Madison area, we'd love for you to stop by and study the Bible with us on Sundays at 5 p.m. or Wednesdays at 7 p.m. If you have questions about the Bible or want to know more about the Madison Church, you can find us online at madisonchurch.org. Be sure to subscribe to this podcast as well as our sermons podcast, Madison Church of Christ Sermons. Thanks again for stopping by. I hope this study is a blessing to you.
We're talking about priorities tonight, and I can tell that you guys have a really good set of priorities because you're here meeting with other Christians to study His Word, and that's great. I hope that something I say and something that we all say as we go through these lessons are helpful to you as a parent, because like has been mentioned, parenting is not easy. You know that. Everybody that's had kids knows that. It's not easy, but it's doable, and God's given us the tools we need in His Word to do it. So like I said, tonight we're going to talk about setting biblical priorities in a worldly culture, because we live in the world, right? And we're primarily talking about time and money, because that's really a lot of what we have to deal with there and how that affects our family. If you look down here, it says good things easily replace the best things, and that's so true. There's a lot of really good things we do, but we got to make sure that we keep our priorities straight. So hopefully something tonight will help you with that. Most of this stuff you already know. The verses I'm sure you're very familiar with, but I think it's good to step back and look sometimes and see, hey, what are my priorities? And am I really living out priorities? So that's what I wanted to talk about tonight. I'll start out with this illustration. I ran across this and I thought it was pretty effective. So picture a jar of rocks. You've got big rocks and then you've got, I'll say, sand in it. The big rocks are spiritual things, and important things like our family, our marriage, worship, God, scripture, prayer, teaching your children. Those are the big things, the big rocks. And you've also got sand, and that's all that other stuff, the worldly demands, sports achievements, lifestyle upgrades, endless activity. I mean, we're all busy, right? So the point is, if you just put the sand in first, and then you go to put the rocks in, guess what? They're not going to fit, right? So you got to put the big rocks in first, and that's where priority comes in. Getting those big things in there first, and then there's space left. You can do a lot of this stuff, but you got to make sure your priorities are in the right order there. So a question here at the bottom, and this is where I'm hoping to get feedback from you guys. What specifically do you feel the most pressure on, your time or your finances, how you spend your money? What do you think?
I mean, I think time.
Time? Yeah, I think that's probably it. I mean, you can to some extent trade time for money, but they're not completely interchangeable. So that's part of the problem. I mean, our modern culture demands total devotion to a lot of different things, sports achievements, lifestyle, listed to some things there. And those good things can quietly crowd out the most important things, the best things. And what's kind of, what we don't notice, I guess, is how this stuff kind of creeps in, and it seems normal because, well, everybody else around us is living the same way, right? If we look at the world around us, they're focusing on worldly things. So our objective is to identify those traps in our culture that pull us off course, to try to establish a practical framework to protect our spiritual life and apply it to both the calendar and our budget. So it's true that where your time and money go are really an honest record of where your priorities are. So if you think about if somebody picked up your phone and looked at, well, where do you spend most of your time on your phone? Because I know with my phone, I can go look and see how much time I spend in each app. So it's really easy to see, well, I spent that much time on there. You know, it's if you step back and look at those things, sometimes it's a bit eye-opening. And if you look at your bank account, where are you spending your money? Where's it going? Is God in there? So that's kind of what we wanted to talk about a little bit tonight. So the first part is kind of like identifying the enemy, stuff we know that's out there that traps us. You know, and the first one is busyness, talking about time, right? That's a big deal. It's really easy to say yes to everything that comes along until your family's just worn out, right? And overworked parents are just trying to get through the week, right? And to get to the weekend, like they get a break on weekend, right? You really don't get a break on weekend. You're still busy, right? The problem is sometimes there's no energy left for the big rocks, the important stuff. So we got to watch out for that. And sometimes we can trade time we don't have for pursuit of material things. Like I said, you know, to some extent we can trade time and money for each other, but the trade's never free. And you only have a set amount of resources for both. So you got to make the right trade there. So let me ask a question to you guys. Are extracurricular activities more time consuming today than when you grew up? When you were growing up, were you doing as much stuff as your kids are?
It seems like it's a lot busier.
That's true. Well, when you're a kid, you're just along for the ride, right? You don't have to deal with all that.
The question about like how much time do you put into that stuff, I think, plagued my parents and plagues us. Is just like you're already busy trying to manage your own lives and then also trying to like weave in the extra drive time everywhere. I feel like things spread out too more and more. It takes longer to get everywhere. Traffic gets worse.
I think we can all agree that traffic is definitely getting worse in Huntsville.
I miss seasonal sports. I feel like we're really into sports in our family, and now we have to play every sport year round, pretty much.
Yeah, if you want to be competitive, right? That's a good point.
Out there, even to be like just accepted on the team. Back when I was a kid, if you wanted to play baseball at your school, it wasn't hard.
Yeah.
I mean, as long as you could catch a ball and hit a ball, you play baseball, whatever, you know, it just wasn't hard to get on the team. But this day, if you're not performing at collegiate levels in high school, it's like, well, sorry, you didn't make the cut, you know, so your kid just doesn't get to play. It's like, man, I'm not looking to start a professional baseballer here. I'm just getting to play some baseball, I mean, that's all I want. But it feels more impossible these days than it used to be.
Yeah, I would agree with that, Kurt. It seems like you got to be really serious, and it's not just time commitment; it's also financial commitments. You know, a lot of times for things as well, like that. So, what's the cost of busyness? What are we trading off here? What are we giving up?
I think it can be peace. I think growing up, we were heavy into like travel basketball and even had like trainers. And that was, I feel like, my identity. A lot of my high school years was in sports. And I've got little kids now, so we're not there yet. But if I could do anything different, I think we're going to really try to not make that the priority that it was for me when I was in school. Just because I think I had a lot of angst and just competing and where I'd stood, and my identity was in that. I don't want that for my kids, so I think that could be a cost.
Yeah, peace. I totally agree. It's hard to have peace when you're, I don't know if you guys remember Mike Winkler, he'd say you're going at Mach 6 with your hair on fire, It's tough to have peace when you're doing that. Any other thoughts?
Kind of like focus on true priorities.
Family time, even just like getting here tonight. I was racing from Athens, and my youngest is downstairs in her gymnastic stuff because we came straight here. And then you just go. So like, I guess the piece of just
mine had to bring dinner into class.
Yep.
We haven't been home since 4:15.
Like health, the freedom to be spontaneous.
Because everything's planned out. Every hour of every day, it's like, your calendar gets busy. I know when we had our kids, we had a paper calendar that hung inside the pantry, and each kid was color-coded with what they needed to go to and what time they needed to be there. And I'm sure there's better ways to do that now, but it gets complicated.
Like the kind of like talk about spontaneous, like the random things, like if you do have a Saturday where your calendar is not telling you what to do, like just seeing what the kids come up with, you know, in their boredom, or, you know, just the randomness at home, or what toys they pull out, you know, and different things like that, when you just have that downtime, and it's just, you know, you can kind of see some of that creativity come out, and, you know, we lose a lot of that when we never stop.
That's a good point. I mean, sometimes it's good for kids to be bored, right? I mean, we're not in the business of entertaining them 24/7. I mean, that's how they get creative. They come up with things to do on their own. That's a good point. Yeah, I listed a few things up here, you know, so it gets really easy to like, man, we're too busy. We just can't make it to church tonight, you know. We're just worn out, or we just can't get there, or whatever. And too many, and you know, and now a lot of sports are played on Wednesday nights and even Sundays, which makes it even more challenging, right? I don't know about other things besides sports, but there's a lot of things out there. It seems to be, I know it's worse than when we were raising our kids. Another one too is maybe you don't have time to sit down with your family and eat, and that's a really important time to communicate and to get closer together as a family. You know, and it's really hard to do that when you're on the run, right? We don't have time for prayer and scripture, you know, and we just get flat worn out, right? You know, you get to the end of the day and it's like you're just worn out. So it's interesting. This was a good quote. I don't credit me for this, but it says, "Busyness rarely announces itself as a sin. It just simply consumes the hours that belong to God." You know, so we gotta watch for that. That doesn't mean that we stop all this stuff. It's just that we have to keep our priorities straight. Let's talk a little bit about the financial side as well. You know, that time is probably the biggest one, but also it can be really tempting to try to live your life in such a way that's beyond your means. So you're trying to fund a lifestyle for your children with all this stuff, and maybe you didn't have it and you want your kids to have it, but that can get really expensive and take a lot of money, and you know, and some people even go into debt to finance a worldly standard of living that makes life really challenging for them, and that just adds pressure on top of all the time pressures, because you've got financial pressures, and I know you guys have heard it, but a lot of problems in marriages are have some sort of root back in financial trouble. So That's a warning sign as well. So question here, how has the American dream created a culture that results in neglecting the home? Or has it? Or what do you think?
I'll tell you, so the two parents are working now. You know, you have to have two parents in order to have more or less the same lifestyle that people had back then.
Yeah, I think that's very true. Certainly more parents, you have more two-income households today, for sure.
You can kind of, I know the American culture is like very individualistic compared to like families and Far East cultures and things like that, how there's so much emphasis on like intergenerational relationship. And I feel like when you're super busy trying to get what's yours, or you're going to do sports or whatever extracurricular activities, that you like kind of miss time to commune with like aunts, uncles, grandparents, and things like that. It's just like one of those things that kind of falls off the calendar quickly, I think.
That's true. And those relations can be very helpful to us in a lot of different ways.
I feel like American dream promotes ambition in everything you do, and so to try and promote ambition in your kids, I don't know if I've ever seen relational ambition promoted. It's been more of through sports, through grades, through achievement, work harder, that kind of thing.
Yeah, the dream's pretty worldly. It's not a seems that, you know, or outstanding Christians, it's kids that are successful and, you know, millionaire, whatever, right? So.
Yeah, I mean, if we look at the people the world considers successful, you know, in most cases, they're not living a Christian lifestyle, or in a lot of cases. There are a few out there that are, and that's good.
Yeah, some of the thing is driven by the, kind of piggybacking off the example I was using earlier, you know, about the sports and stuff. And if your kid wants to be on the baseball team, so you pretty much have them to play baseball year round. I know we experienced that with Sarah when she was a color guard. At first, we just wanted her to just be in the marching band. But well, there was winter guard and competition band. But if she wants to be in the color guard, she's going to have to do winter guard. It all had to do with the whole block schedule at school and all this. And so, she's not going to do winter guard and all this, and she's going to have to stay on the back line with all the freshmen as a senior. And so, you know, there's this pressure of, And so, you know, she ended up having to do year-round color guard just to be on the color guard team. But, you know, you think of, like, as I said, baseball as an example. You know, well, all the other schools are doing it, so in order for your local school to keep up with it and be competitive, well, they're going to have to do all this, too, around and around and around and around and go. And you end up in this ridiculous cycle of it's either just nonstop, go, 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 because we've got to play baseball, or whatever the case may be, right? Or you don't do anything, or you look up and find something that maybe still fits your needs of not being overly busy, but still allowing your kids to do something, right? So it's, but I think that's part of this culture that we've got going on here today. I don't know, it's a very odd, interesting situation.
Yeah, we all want our kids to excel, right? I mean, we want them to do good. And
some of us, like, I just want my kid to be involved in something, but not to where it's like some every single day, hours a day commitment year round. You know, like, that's not what I'm looking for. I want to be able to play baseball a couple months or less a year, but not all year round, as it were. So, I don't know, it's just a very odd situation we found. I don't know what the answer is to it, frankly.
Yeah, it's tough. Yeah, and it's going to vary from family to family, right? Depending on your kids' wants and desires and what you have time for. That's a good point. I've got some scriptures here. I think we're all familiar with these, and these have to do primarily with finances. But you know, 1 Timothy, Paul talks about how we didn't bring anything into this world. You know, all this stuff is temporary. If you want to get rich, you fall in temptation and a snare, and you can't serve God and money. And this one's really important too. You know, you can gain all this stuff, but then what happens when you die? You know, there aren't any U-Hauls behind hearses. You can't take it with you, okay? So, you know, I added, what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul and or his family? And those are my words. That's not in the Bible, but I think it's valid. You know, we can pursue a lot of these things, but if we lose our family in the process, it's not worth it. You know, talking about lifestyle, we decide what lifestyle we will live, okay? How much we want to spend. And unfortunately, we live in a place where there's a pretty high standard of living, right? If we were in sub-Saharan Africa, we would be super rich, you know? We'd be feeling guilty probably for all the stuff we have. But if we're in Madison, Alabama, you know, we're a pretty affluent town. I think that makes it more difficult too. There's a lot of peer pressure out there. We're blessed, but a lot of times we want more. So we decide what sacrifices we're gonna make to get those things, okay? You know, are we gonna work extra hours? Are we gonna pursue career advancement? Are we gonna be on call all the time, you know, connected to our phones so that we can do better at our job? So those are things we decide. And the point here is those lifestyle choices need to be made in keeping with our priorities. And that may mean in some cases, yeah, you don't have as much stuff as somebody else who is out there. You know, I've worked with a lot of people over the years, and there's a lot of folks who have done well in their job and they've excelled and they're up high in management, but their family life is a disaster if they even have a family anymore. It's, you know, there are trades that people make that are not necessarily good. So let me ask this, are your children better off getting everything they want, or how do we determine what's enough?
So back two slides ago, you had mentioned that, okay, the funding a lifestyle for your children, kind of tying into this, that you cannot afford. And I would even throw in there that if you can afford it, not to fund it.
That's true.
And just as we've raised children now that are starting to get married and things, if you set up an expectation that they're going to have everything they want all the time, and then at 22, they've just come out of college with debt, and they're married, they have no money, you know, and they're used to getting all this, I think it sets up for a hard start to a marriage if they're used to getting everything they want.
That's a good point. You know, a lot of times you get out of school, you get that job, and you're ready to have the same standard of living your parents have, right, that they've worked for decades, perhaps. So that's a good point.
And then even like, so there's the things and the money, but also the time that we're teaching them now. You know, like, sure, go do the travel ball, and book up your calendar, and that's okay to go, and not showing them time is important too, like, right, like prioritizing your time, and because those are all kind of connected, right? Like, if you're playing travel ball, then you gotta have this bat, you gotta have this glove, you gotta have these shoes, but do you get this? Am I making sense? So like, just, it's not just teaching, or like telling them, no, you can't have this, but let's not spend all of our time this way, because.
Yeah, and kids are cruel too. It's like, oh, you've got the wrong brand of whatever, right? You know, they're mean, they're terrible, or it can be, not all of them are, but they can be pretty ugly. Anyway, well, let's talk a little bit about our Bible priorities, and this is not going to be news to anybody, right? First priority is God and spiritual things, you know, Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God. Interesting point here, you can't give your children something you don't possess, all right? You know, and David mentioned this last week, but our children are influenced by how we live, not necessarily by what we say. We can say things all day long till we're blue in the face, but if they don't see us living it, and they're very insightful, they're smart, they know how to work their parents, they understand because they live with you every day, you know, they'll know. So our kids need to see us reading scripture and praying, and you know, and it's really nice to have the Bible on my phone, but I'm also a big fan of this, because if somebody sees you reading this, there's no doubt what you're doing. If somebody sees you doing this, I have no idea what you're doing. So if you're trying to set an example for your kids, it's a good idea to let them see you reading the Bible and praying with them. We have to teach our kids that the church is not an optional activity. It's our spiritual family. You know, it's where we get strength. And God knows that, and that's why he wants us to be a part of that family, a regular part of it. So what barriers come up in your life that makes it hard to prioritize your personal relationship with God in the middle of all the busyness and the chaos and all that? I mean, what are the barriers?
The first thing that I tend to sacrifice is like my own time. So like, just as an example, if I see a need my wife has or my kids have, I'm more likely to take like that last hour of the day that I have and reallocate that time for like, you know, helping the family with something. And what that ends up doing to me sometimes, the trap I fall into is like, I get really tired at the end of the day or something happens and you're like, oh, I was gonna, you know, write some thoughts about some scripture that I was reading or take a look at some of the notes I wrote down, and then that just like falls off because you're dead tired.
Yeah.
So I think that like a practical barrier to our relationship with God can sometimes be like a good thing, which is like trying to serve our family, but to the point where we like stretch ourselves too thin.
Yeah, we do have to take care of ourselves, right? But it can't be self-care for you 24/7. I mean, that's selfish, right? I mean, we find joy in serving others.
Right. Building a relationship with God is a lot more than like just time for yourself.
Right, right. Like, oh, I need to go do what I want to do for. Yeah, and that's why, you know, I was trying to lay out the structure for this series, I put the foundation stuff first, because if you don't have the foundation right, there are all kinds of band-aids and, you know, hacks for your time and all that, but ultimately that's not going to get you where you want to go, because your foundation has to be based on God, and it has to be in the right spiritual mindset. You have to be in the right spiritual mindset, because otherwise, you know, it's like the foolish man who built his house on the sand, right? So God's our first priority. I'm going to say your second priority needs to be your spouse, okay? Your spouse is your primary ministry after God. So she's ahead of your work, your hobbies, your sports, your friends, and yes, I'm going to say even your children, okay? Don't forget, your kids will grow up and hopefully they'll launch. They'll be gone one day. They'll still be your kids. You'll still be their parent, and you'll still want to parent them. I'll tell you that, but they'll be gone one day, hopefully, and it's going to be you and your wife or you and your husband again. You've got to take care of that marriage, okay? Your marriage is going to be around, so that's important. Your spouse is your God-given partner, and they are a great help in this busyness of raising kids, you know, and it's something where both parents have to work together. They've got to be united and how they talk to their kids, how discipline is provided. You know, there's nothing worse than a child knowing, well, I can go to this parent on my own and I can get around what this parent told me. So you guys have to be on the same page, right? Or it just doesn't work very well. Your kids are smart. They figured all that out, right? So what do you think? Sometimes do we put too much energy into our children at the expense of our relationship as husband and wife? I mean, it's tough because you're like, well, they're going to be around. I got to do this for my kids, you know. So I can understand why there'd be a lot of pressure to do that. Is that right? Should we do that?
Kirk's opinion is your spouse needs to come first. And Lisa and I have done that before, you know, but we've used it as an opportunity to teach our kids. There was one example. I think one of the kids came home from college or something like that, unexpected. I can't remember what the situation was, but it was one of these where, you know, we had planned a weekend to go away, and it had been a while since she and I had just been anywhere. But at the same time, man, we were feeling really guilty just because of the situation that was being presented. But we told them, like, look, we're going. You know, we love y'all. But one of these days, y'all are going to be out of the house, and it's just going to be she and I sitting in this thing, and we got to make sure this thing is still good, still right. And so, you know, we took it as an opportunity, and then I told them too. I said, and you need to make sure you do the same thing with your spouse one day. You know, your children are, yes, critically important, but the children are going to be gone one day. And so, you know, you have to make sure your marriage is solid, and you have to tend to it. And so, you know, we kind of use it as a teaching opportunity as well to express the importance of that. And I mean, it was hard. We felt some guilt about it, but, you know, I don't know, certainly didn't regret it. I'm being serious. You know, I mean, it's just important, you know.
Yeah, that is a hard decision.
We're coming up on that whole empty nester thing. You know, our last two are seniors this year, and it's just she and us. So, yeah.
Yeah, hopefully you're not strangers at that point, you know. Yeah, yeah. Secure marriage is a gift to your children. It's a very powerful gift, you know, and if they don't have that's a challenge. It's going to be a challenge for them. So.
We have littles still, only not too little, 11 and 14. And if Jason and I are sitting having coffee and one of them comes in and wants to come up the house, say, hey, Dad and I are having some conversation, we're having some coffee, we're having some time together, can you go find something to do for a little while? So it's possible, even when they're little, to say, hey, Dad and I are gonna have some time together. Can you go find something to do for a little while? And they're usually like, yeah, okay. So if you can still get it in, even if it's just, you know, a 15-minute coffee and conversation, you can still, even with the little ones, get some time in together, and then they can see that we value conversation with just the two of us and time together.
That's a good point. I mean, kids need to understand that the world does not revolve around them, right? I mean, well, I'm going to say priority three would be your children, right? And they're a very important priority. They're a gift from God. Deuteronomy 6:7, this was mentioned in previous classes, but this is such a powerful verse, you know, and there's so much in there that you could talk about. So let me ask, how do we practice Deuteronomy 6:7, you know, teaching our children when you sit down, when you walk, when you get up, when you lay down? How do you do that? What are those teaching moments hidden in an ordinary day that you can use to tell them about God and spiritual things? What's some things that'll work for you guys?
We take walks in the evening, and when there's like a beautiful sunset or just anything nature related, then we like to give credit to God and just, you know, let them know like, well, God is the mastermind behind this. You know, he did all this so we can enjoy it, and he loves us. And so we just, little things just to point out that God is the creator, or just being thankful for the peace that we have and the neighborhood that we have to walk around in that's nice and quiet and has beautiful flowers for us to smell and see, things like that. So.
A lot of times it's little things, right?
We have a just little like one pager Devo, girls Devo, that I have in my car. I keep it in the car and in the car line on the way to school, like when we're waiting. You know, sometimes that's also the time when the girls are like, oh, let's go ahead and start fighting, right and early. And so it's been kind of a nice, like, just I'll read that, and sometimes it'll even have something to do with, like, you know, an issue they had at school or, like, something that has come up at school, that, you know, where we can just kind of talk about it and pray before they go into school and remind them that Jesus is with them and, you know, that they can take him to school with them every day. And I like that. That's nice, and it's better than listening to the fighting.
One of the things that I did with my 3-year-old, she loves sirens, like anything with a siren, fire truck, police officer, and you hear him coming down, and like gets your attention. And so we started praying for the like first responders, and it's almost like Pavlov experiment. As soon as she hears that siren, she goes, oh, "We need to pray." So I found that was pretty good for like really little ones, because it grabs their attention, and it reminds them instantly, hey, somebody might be in trouble, let's pray about it.
That's a good point. Yeah, you know, we spend a lot of time in our cars, right? I mean, parenting is like 95% logistics sometimes, getting moving things from here to there. But that means they're a captive audience, right? So it's a good opportunity.
We've learned that car time is valuable time for parenting, and you know, I think especially headed to the car line every morning, right? Something you try to repeat every day without becoming redundant, right? Is praying, but then also just like trying to challenge my kids to think about, you know, I'll ask them, you know, what's one thing you can do today to, you know, be a light to someone? You know, what's one thing you could look out for to try to, you know, show the love of Jesus to somebody else, and like just have them tell me, and you know, they came up with some crazy stuff, right? But you know, a lot of times, like, you can just kind of see the wheels turning, you can see it click. And then like for our youngest, like, we really challenged her to go and, you know, find new friends that, you know, seem to be alone, or maybe they haven't made friends yet in kindergarten, and like she'll come home super excited, hey, I made 3 friends today, Dad, like, here's their names, and like, here's what I said to them to ask them to be my friend. You know, so you can just like see, you know, see the wheels turning, and, you know, see that, you know, even early on, they can be set apart from the world, you know, so.
Yeah, that's so key, because we want to, you know, we're in the world, right? But we're not supposed to look like the world in so many ways, you know, and that's tough for kids, because they all want to fit in, and we want to fit in, right? But know, that's not the right way sometimes. So looking at these priorities, you know, there's a lot of stuff that's not at the top of the list, and I've listed a few things there. You know, and I don't want to spend a whole lot of time on this chart, but I will point this out. You know, when people get to the end of their life, they almost universally look back and they don't think, yeah, you know, I should have worked harder at my job. I could have achieved more. You know, that's usually not what they say. They regret missing opportunities, perhaps with their family, and opportunities to do things that they wish they had done. So I guess the question is, what do you want your children to remember about you and how you spent your time each day? You know, something to think about there. What, you know, if, as they get older and they look back, it's like, well, Daddy was always working, you know, or he wasn't there for my games, or Mom was doing this, you know. And I recognize sometimes we have to do that. Sometimes you just, things come up at work and you got to do it. But if that's a habitual thing, then you need to consider what you're trading off there. It's important. So tried to give a few, I'll call it practical suggestions. First one is look at how you're spending your time. I mean, be intentional. Think about, hey, how are we spending our week? You know, where are we spending all this time? I know a lot of it's driving, right? And there's ways you can leverage that for good. So does your calendar really match your family first priorities? You know, make an honest assessment there. Look at those hours you're spending on extracurricular activities versus the hours you're spending on spiritual things. And if you think it's out of balance, it's tough, but have the courage to adjust it. And if that activity conflicts with worship or strains the budget, you know, it should take a back seat. I threw this out there, and you can, maybe this works, maybe this doesn't for you, but maybe you consider limiting your child to one extracurricular activity each season just to protect family time. Let's see. So I mentioned being intentional. So sometimes you have to say no to good things, even sometimes spiritual things, perhaps even church activities, because there's something better that you need to do. Okay, I think of the example of Mary and Martha, where Martha was so busy doing good stuff, but Mary sat at Jesus' feet and listened to what he had to say, and Jesus said, that's the most important. And you need to make sure that certain things are just non-negotiable, right? Your church, your spending time together, eating, which is a good thing, spiritual things, those need to be scheduled and put on your calendar first. And then there's certain things, you know, Kurt mentioned that they were going out of town, and that was a priority. So you kept that appointment, right? And that's a good thing. Sometimes you have to do that. And don't forget, with your finances, put God first, and then figure out the rest of your finances.
Hey, Brent, I'll make something up. Date night. That's an important one. Y'all ain't doing date nights. Y'all need to do it weekly. I'm serious.
Now, who has time for that? I'm kidding.
Believe me, I've never done that. You know, but, you know, when we had some, you know, when Elise and I, when our children were in their younger years, we had some very gracious people in the church who were more than happy to keep our kids and wouldn't, like, a lot of times wouldn't charge us anything, you know, and so there's folks here in this congregation as well like that, so, you know, I know babysitting can be pricey and whatnot, but, man, yeah, that's an important one. You'll find out that stuff starts to fall off the radar real fast when kids start coming along. But it's so crucial to keep that, you know, to keep dating your spouse and doing the things that, you know, that you initially had that attraction for, and, you know, the things you did to attract your spouse and vice versa, right? It's so important to keep those things up, because they will fall off the radar real fast.
Yeah, that's so true. That's so true. Years ago, we had an offsite, and we brought in a speaker at work, and this was not a spiritual thing, but he basically said something along those lines, hey, you need to take care of your relationship. You know, if you think it's expensive to take her out to eat and pay the babysitter, just it's a lot more expensive if your marriage falls apart. So think about that, you know. All right, here's a few other things. So going back to Deuteronomy 6:7, we talked about that a little bit. And this is a big one too. Practice presence over proximity. Okay, you can be in the same room, but that's not the same, you know, as being together, all right? I always think it's sad when I go to a restaurant and I see a family sitting there at the table and every one of them is looking down at their phone. There's not a word being said, you know, and I'm like, man, what a missed opportunity, you know? But it's so easy to do. These things are so pervasive and they demand our attention. So we got to remember that all the stuff that we have, it's God's, right? Our time, our money, it's a blessing from Him. It's to be managed for His purposes, right? And when you think about lifestyle changes, you know, whether it's your job, you know, who's working, all those things, weigh those against the principles in God's Word and look at your priorities and make sure you make an intentional, conscious decision when you go forward based on biblical precepts. This chart talks a little bit about stewardship, and your kids need to see you giving and how you give to the church, and you got to teach them that habit. You need to instill in them the desire and the knowledge that they need to give back to God a part of what He's given to us. So how can we gently explain to our children when we're choosing not to buy something or participate in something that everyone else is doing, why we're not doing that? Well, we're running out of time. I will stop there, but something to think about, you know. That's a hard one, I think. But anyway, we'll end there. That was actually the last slide. But the world may criticize your choices, but eternity will vindicate them if you choose wisely. So thank you so much for coming tonight. Next week, Mark Hester's going to be here, so you don't have to listen to me. But appreciate you guys and wish you the best as parents. I know the elders are praying for you guys as parents and all of us. So we'll see you next week.